Mick and MJ in the morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Massive Thursday night. Woo-hoo. Roosters, Panthers at Allianz. Mav Geyer.
Yes.
Lads.
So when we start on the brekkie show together, he's got five kids, MG. They're all little tackers. And to see Mav now come through, all the hard work that he's put in, mate, you absolutely deserve it.
This is quite a moment.
The son of rugby league legend.
Geyer for Penrith!
Just to see him in the Panthers jersey, that's, for me, seeing him in the jersey I used to wear, it's just immense pride.
To wear the Penrith jersey, same as Dad, so cool.
Wearing his father's jersey for the first time.
Good on you, Mav.
We have a new MG!
We love him to pieces. He's a great kid.
Wow.
Congratulations to everyone involved. I'm about to go the blob myself. Oh, what a moment, mate. We alluded to this on the show yesterday. I know it's now reported widely in the papers, but I can't congratulate you enough. I know what this means to you. I've only known you a short time, but I certainly know how important this is. Can you tell me how you got the news? Did Mav get to break it to you? This is a big thing these days, and sometimes it's even recorded and played. But where were you and what were you doing when you heard the news your boy was going to play for Penrith?
Well, it was last Sunday. They were at a recovery session because he played on the Saturday for the New South Wales Cup, and he got replaced early in that game. He usually plays 80 minutes, and when he got replaced, I thought, what's going on here? You know, he's not injured. And my wife Megan said he might be, you know, bringing him off to play in first grade this week. I said, I don't know. Who knows? So on Sunday, I was laying in the lounge room with Meegs and my mum, who was down from the Central Coast, and Mavering, and I thought, a thousand things went through my mind. And what you just said then, Mickey, was one of the things that this could be Mav and they could be recording him. So I kind of sat up and I said, hello, mate. He goes, Dad, they're not recording, mate. So
you don't have to put some pants on. We're all good.
He said, you can talk normal. I said, I think F. So he said, I've just been told that I'm playing Thursday night against the Roosters and I'll make my debut. And we kind of just all froze. Meegs was on the lounge next to me and she kind of was in a little bit of shock. My mum started crying and then my oldest boy came out and said, what? What's going on? And all this stuff started unfolding. So, yeah, as I said in that little package, it's immense pride. He's worked his ass off. He's been when he first left school, he worked on roofs for a couple of years, and he'd come home at from working in 40-degree heat and have a swim in the pool, then go to training. And then he had a couple of injuries the last couple of years, little niggling injuries, like a broken thumb and a dislocated elbow that put him back. But this year, Mickey and girls and listeners, he hasn't missed one training run in the off-season. He's done every session. He went to England with the World Club Challenge, so he's earned the right, and we're just immensely proud of him. He's a great kid. He's a beautiful kid.
He's entertained a couple of offers too along the way. I think Storm famously had a crack at him, but he wanted to play for the club that you love so much, where you are embedded as an all-time legend. That must mean a lot to you too.
Well, I saw something online last night that the Penrith Panthers put up, and it was basically Mav being interviewed yesterday. I asked him when he got home last night, when did they record that? And he said, like, a few hours ago. So it was pretty raw. And he spoke about me playing for Penrith, his uncles, Greg and Ben. And we don't often talk about Ben because it was a real sad part of our life. And as soon as he started talking about Ben, I kind of choked up. And the synergy that he bought as a kid, to him being wearing that family jersey every time he runs out, it meant so much to us, you know. And I think today when we hand him his jersey at about 10:30, it's going to be one of them moments where I'm trying to tell myself, just don't cry, just be strong and be sure, you know. It's only a first grade game. It's rugby league, but it means so much more to us because it is
absolutely it does.
It's the club that made me who I am today, and I you know, I know how much he's gonna love the moment to wear that Penrith jersey and run out into Allianz Stadium Thursday night because it's a proud moment for jersey. I think he's going to be number. I was 262 Panther. He's 620. So it's just unbelievable.
It's just a shame there won't be any close friends or family there to see this. What are you doing? Tell me what's happening. There are buses leaving Penrith.
Yes, there is.
Tell me about it.
Well, straight away, we started telling our family and friends. We can't say anything until the official teams are announced on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So we can't.
Yep.
We can't. So as soon as they were announced yesterday, we started getting calls and from people, and we said, Mav's mates in particular, and then my son's, Logan's mates, and our friends, and so we've got about 90 people going to a couple of buses. We've got shirts made up, we've got tickets. It's amazing. It's one of them things that we all want to. I think it's one of them things, guys. That one thing, like I recently found out, I was going to be a pop for the first time, and.
Yep.
That brings a lot of joy to a lot of people. I think this is one of them moments as well when it's not just our family who are celebrating Mav reaching a milestone, but the people that it encapsulates outside of our family. I think that's one of the biggest buzzes as well. So we all want to enjoy it tonight and tomorrow night, and let's hope that it's a Penrith victory.
There's nothing not to like about this story. It's all good, and I'm so happy for everyone involved. And look, it's the end of one part of the journey, the start of another. Let's not to put too much pressure on the kid. He's going to be fine.
Yes.
And it's just I've got a warm glow. Good on you, mate. Congratulations to you and your family. And if you've got a seat on that bus, I'll come with you, all right?
Well, you're more than welcome. See you there. Anyone's welcome.
Time to take a look at the animal kingdom. We haven't done it for a while, but there's some big news that needs to be addressed. A cow in Brazil set a world record after selling for $4.8
million. What?
Bang. What? Check that out. It's a white cow. Went for US $4.8. That's a lot of coin for a cow, for a breeding cow. You know what? She's like a supermodel. She's like a... You know, she's got that hot chick vibe.
Has she?
Oh, yeah.
She looks
sassy. No. Yeah, that look where you just shake your booty a bit. And
it actually looks like a fake cow. It looks like people are dressed up in it.
I beg your pardon. It's a $4.8 million cow.
Looking at the picture.
You have to milk her wearing, like, white gloves.
MZ's.
And you want chocolate milk. You'd want Bailey's coming out of one udder. You'd want milk coming out of one. Bailey's coming out of the other. Kahlua.
Oh, Queen Maria. Yeah.
A bit of ice. That's what you need. Let me tell you, how good would that be? Oh, is it a beef cow? Oh, then. Jeez, there's $4.8 million. That's got to be a good porterhouse.
Oh, it's a good barbecue.
Why was it so expensive?
Well, she's just the best in the biz. Must be a breeding cow. You know what I mean? Better punch out some kids that are little hotties. Don't let her anywhere near the running of the bulls. They're not good enough for her. Those idiots. No. They stay in your lane.
Oh, she'd look her down her nose ring at those cows.
Wouldn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yucky.
You wouldn't get the time of day.
No.
She'd be a real hottie. She'd be like on Instagram with the cans
she'd,
out.
She'd be a cattle influencer.
You won't see her at the Easter show. Mind you, I bet you there's some good cows floating around down there. Okay, to the second story. We've got a group of sperm whaves have unleashed a punado to defend themselves against an orca attack. What have you got, Tash?
Why do I get this story?
Tash, just unpack it, please.
Okay, well, this is quite extraordinary. This is nature at its very best. These group of sperm whales were being attacked, as you mentioned, by orcas, and then all of a sudden a big dark bubble blasted its way to the surface, which people initially feared was actually blood. But this is incredible. Nature is amazing. It turned out that the whales had decided to unleash... diarrhea.
And no, say it.
Punado.
Unleash what? Say it again.
Punado. Is that an actual word?
Thank you. No, I just needed to get that clean because I'll be using that in a lot of shows from here on in.
It's known as a cloud of diarrhea. Anyway.
Yeah.
Big colonoscopy.
I tell you what, I've seen MG hit the bathrooms at about 7:38 and I've walked in there and there's something close to a punado's gone down.
Did I spray?
Well, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? I want to see David Attenborough use the word punado. Can we get that?
Oh, yes.
On the show. Sure well, if you see a pot of whales out there with reading material, get out of town.
MG Sport Report. There's an urgent push to keep an iconic suburban ground open for business. The West Tigers CEO says the condition of Leichhardt Oval could force the club to move away.
If something's not done very quickly about securing Leichhardt Oval, we simply won't be playing.
Leichhardt Oval hasn't received any funding from the state government since Benji Marshall was in nappies.
The Inner West Mayor has called for state government funding for Penrith Stadium to be reallocated.
Yeah, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns may have just signed the death notice for the beloved suburban NRL ground Leichhardt Oval. Local council have been pushing for a 30 mil upgrade with fears if it doesn't happen, the venue could be lost to all NRL matches beyond this season. They play five games a year at Leichhardt Oval, and what's at the moment, it's like a couple of years ago, one of the grandstands or one of the on-courses collapsed while there's a union game on. It needs refurbishment. Let's be honest. It's one of the best grounds in Sydney because of the historic nature of it, because of the nostalgia, because it's symbolic. But at the end of the day, it's unsafe, and it needs an upgrade. If it doesn't get an upgrade, Mickey, it looks like it could be gone forever from the NRL surface.
So, as someone who is not au fait with the history of Leichhardt Oval, tell me why it's so important to retain this ground and what it's contributed to the game, to NRL, over the years.
Well, it's like a little hidden gem at Leichhardt. It's in the inner west area. It pops up out of nowhere. And in the 70s, where most people can probably draw the line where they started loving rugby league, especially in my vintage of people in their 50s, was they used to have a midweek competition called the MCO Cup. And the MCO Cup was played on Wednesday nights outside of the cup, and they played outside of the comp, and played against teams like from the Western Division, from country areas. And in 1974, one of the Western Division beat Penrith in the grand final, so that kind of sparked interest in it. Over the years, obviously, it's just been lost because of the debilitating way it's starting to be. It needs urgent refurbishment. If it doesn't get that, well, it's goodbye Leichhardt, you would imagine.
I get a little annoyed when we let links to the past go in any of our games. So they should try and save it at all costs, at least. Have it as part of it. Sometimes in AFL, even the grounds that aren't used anymore are still become famously training facilities that then go on to host preseason games and others. I'd rather see that than to become a property developer's dream out at Leichhardt Oval. It'd be great to retain it. In some capacity. I know you spent a year out there yourself, did you not?
I did, and it's one of them. Look, it wasn't a memorable year for me, but it was one of them years that I got to see firsthand how symbolic this ground was. You know, it's old, it's crakey, but it's filled with memories, and some of the best players ever come from Leichhardt Oval. And named after the explorer Ludwig Leichhardt, a German explorer in the 80s. He disappeared in 1936.
He was lost. He
might be disappearing with him soon. So,
do it for Ludwig. he'll be rolling in his grave right now. All right, well said. See what we can do. Get on the blower to Minns. Say something, but let's retrain it in some capacity.
Didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me. Suck my white ass, Paul!
Yes, that's a grab of Adam Sandler as Happy Gilmore, and the rumours circulating are that the Happy Gilmore 2 is in the works.
Oh, yes.
This is my favourite Adam Sandler film. Do you have do you think there's a better one? Yep. I think he's got a lot of good ones, but I think this is the one. Waterboy we loved.
50 First Dates.
No, not so much.
That's not quite. Not the same league.
What about Blended?
There's some good ones out there, but this is the cream of the crop. And news of a sequel would make a lot of fans out there very happy. And it would be great to see. Look, let's be honest, the world of sequels is littered with disasters. There aren't many where the sequel is better than the original. What do you think? Godfather? That would be one.
Yes. Maybe Jaws? No, not Jaws.
No, not Jaws. I think the original was still the best.
Godfather's definitely.
It's probably.
Mean Girls, the second one, terrible.
Dirty Dancing 2 was horrific. Okay. Dirty Dancing 2.
All right. It was no good or was better?
No, Dirty Dancing 2 was horrific. You can't. Dirty Dancing original was brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, and Roadhouse, the sequel, is not as good as the original either.
Yep. Well, that's disappointing. Have you seen it?
Yeah, watched it on Prime. All right.
But it got us thinking, what would you like to see come back as a sequel? I was thinking Taxi Driver 2. You know, Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro.
Oh, yes.
But he comes back as an even angrier Uber driver.
Oh. Are you looking at me?
Yes. What about you, MG? What would you like to see come back?
Look, in 1994, a movie burst on the scenes, which I fell in love with. In fact, it's probably on my podium as top three movies of all time. It's got to be, I forget it now, Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Whose motorcycle is this?
It's a chopper, baby.
Whose chopper is this?
Zed's.
Who's Zed?
Zed's dead, baby.
So I always wondered what would happen if Bruce Willis, who played boxer Butch Coolidge, he drifted off, and he's talking to his girlfriend then, because he killed Ving Rhames, who played Zed, and they said Zed's dead. He played Marcellus Wallace. I always wanted to see what would happen if they went to another movie and Zed wasn't dead. And what was in that? What was in the suitcase? What was in the suitcase?
We don't I'm trying to remember everything you're talking about here.
You lost me.
You have to go rewatch it.
All right, yeah, we'll go rewatch Pulp Fiction and see if we can't get a Pulp Fiction 2 out of it. Tash, what about you?
Well, it made me think, you know the controversial Titanic door in the movie that was used? It's recently sold for almost $800,000 at auction, right? It made me think I'd love to see a Titanic 2.
How do you have a Titanic 2? The ship sank.
No, because you know how...
The ship sank. What are you going to do?
Well, Jack allegedly couldn't fit on the door. What I would like to see is Jack actually survives and he's working at a cafe and then Rose meets him. And you know that was her true love because she still thinks of their steamy romance even when she's... old, so they reconnect at the cafe and fall in love.
But that's not a sequel, that's changing the entire movie.
That's a new
don't
movie.
Don't give me facts, Kat. That's what I want to bring to the table, all right?
Okay, fair enough.
The boat sank. How do you
you can't
have a sequel to a film where the boat sank?
You want a new movie.
It wasn't about the boat, it was about their love story. That's what I took away.
I'd like to see Oppenheimer too.
You've got 4 hours up your sleeve.
What about you, Kat? What have you got?
I think Shawshank Redemption. It's cliche, but it's one of my favourite movies of all time. You know, at the end, they're living on an island. Do they get caught again? And are they back in the jail? Everyone loves a jail movie. Yeah, so
it's a bit like Blue Lagoon. They're running around
naked
in loincloth. Shark teeth necklaces. Here we go, guys. This is your chance. 133353. What movie would you like to see have a sequel? Prizes to be won.
Yes.
Get involved. Let's get into it. Billy's on the line. Billy, what film would you like to see a sequel to?
Oh, I'm Frozen.
You mean Frozen
2? Frozen, and I don't mean Frozen 2.
Frozen 2 was shithouse.
Hang on, I'm reconnecting. Just keep chatting amongst yourselves.
All right. What about a prequel to Happy Gilmore, where you go back and you have a look at his hockey career? Remember, because he did play hockey. So you could have an early version with a bit of slapshot style action to it. We're having Groundhog Day 2. That would be a good film.
Oh, that'd be good.
What about The Notebook, number 2?
Is there not one already?
No, there isn't. There's just the original, which
Ferris
is my
Bueller's
favorite.
Day Off, number 2. That'd be
that
good.
Would, Ferris, the Notebook Ferris. Would. Even thinking about it, I'm getting cold shivers.
We can go to Kevin. For some reason, I can't go to Billy.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Billy.
Oh, Billy, bad luck, pal. Kevin's on the line. Kevin, what movie do you want to see a sequel to?
Braveheart 2. Let's start right where he throws the sword at the end of Braveheart.
Okay.
They'll take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Very good.
What about Braveheart 2, where Braveheart, Mel Gibson's character, rides side saddle?
Yes. he's on a trotter.
It's a bit of a chick flick. Thank you, Kevin. Steve's on the line. Stephen, what movie would you like to see a sequel to?
I want to see Evil Angels 2. I want to get the dingo side of the story.
So we get the dingo side of the story, and it's like a Red Dog style film.
Lindy Chamberlain.
It's a happy, where the dingo's just a happy, fun dog that everyone
also
loves.
You know, there's a Titanic. There is a Titanic too, and you know what it's about?
Right.
A boat that sinks, and that's Fair Dinkum. So
All right, well, let's go to Chris. I think that's his idea. What is your idea, Chris?
It's not really my idea. I disagree with Tash that there could be a Titanic 2 because Clive Palmer's building it.
Okay. Well, what about this? This is the plot for Titanic 2. An exact replica of the Titanic crashes into Clive Palmer. And sinks.
Bounces off.
I'd watch it.
And sinks. It's an iceberg. No, it's not. It's Clive Palmer.
I'd watch that.
All right, you'd watch that, would you not? Russell's on the line. What would you like to see a remake of, Russell? Not a remake, a sequel.
Sequel.
Deliverance.
Oh,
get
geez.
This. Half the family's dead. The survivors go back with their kids, and the same thing happens to them.
No, the same thing.
Iconic movie.
No, maybe the original guys go back because they kind of like it. All right, if anyone knows what we're talking about, you get there.
Yeah.
If you hear banjos, run.
Run.
That's all I'm saying. And time for one more. Russell. Russell down there, you want to see, what do you want to see a sequel to?
I want to see Bad Boy Bubby.
Oh, yes, please.
Bad Boy Bubby too. Bad Boy Bubby goes to town or something.
Yeah.
Or the cat fights back.
The cat fights back. All right, give him a prize, cat.
$250 cash from Work Scene. Well done, Russell.
Well done,
Russell. Yay, thank you.
Report, report.
I'd like to report a crime.
Mick and MG's.
Crime.
Report.
Yes, it's all about meth today. A man has been charged. A man has been charged over a brazen 20-kilogram meth import in carry-on wine bottles.
Come on, man.
Which he carried on to a plane, and he got there's the episode of Border Security.
Oh, that's what I want to see.
I really want to see. Jackpot. Wine bottles. That's interesting. How would they have found that? Done a little wine tasting at the customs desk?
Lollipilly wines.
Don't associate.
So who's bringing it in wine? Is this a new thing? What do they do? Just mix it in and then don't want to give out a fact sheet. But
did you see the photo of it though? It's frothing over the top of the lid. So you see all the it crystallized around the lid.
That'd be a giveaway.
Yeah, it is.
What's going on here? It's corked. It's corked, all right. The cork popped out at a million miles an hour. Call me old-fashioned, but I'm a traditionalist. I like to see it coming in swallowed condoms. That's all I'm saying. Call me old-fashioned.
Or boogie board bags.
Or boogie board, whatever floats your boat. Just park the wine. Now, nearly 3,000 pounds of meth was found in a carrot shipment at a US-Mexico border.
Wow.
Carrots. Jeez. Now I'm all for my kids eating their veggies. But
that's gone next level.
Okay. You put the carrots down. You've had enough carrots for one day, young man. Boy, you're not going to go blind. You're going to go the complete opposite. You know, because you want your kids eating their veggies, but you don't want them washing windscreens at intersections. You know what I mean?
No.
So it's a fine line when it comes to
it definitely
eat your veggies. Anyway, it got me thinking. You know, what about Bugs Bunny? Because Bugs Bunny's been
Lord.
If he got his hands on these carrots, what kind of episode would that be?
There's nothing like a crunchy start to the day. Whoa! What sort of carrot is this? Tastes different. Holy f***, this stick's got some kick. What's up, Doc? No, really, really. What's up, baby? You looking at me? Stop fucking at me. What was that? What? Huh? What was that? That's all, folks.
Oh, that is epic.
He was up for 2 weeks, apparently.
He didn't blink.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the
f***? WTF?
Donald Trump has won the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy at his own golf course. What the f***?
Are you joking?
No, he does this all the time. He's won about 20 titles, all at his own golf clubs, because he cheats. Yes. There's a book out called The Commander and Cheat. The guy is, and if, to me, you can rig an election, but cheating at golf is the is the line that you've crossed. That is not, you cannot be doing that. He gets his Secret Service guys to find his balls or replace his balls. He's in one of the stories, he hit one into a dam, which miraculously appeared on the green. In another one, he kicked so many balls back onto a fairway, the caddies started calling him Pelé, who's the most famous soccer player of all time, if you didn't get the reference there.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, what else is going on, guys? MG?
Chromodorus reticulata is a species of sea slug that discards its penis after sex.
What the f***?
Sorry?
But it quickly regrows a new one, which is ready for use in 24 hours.
Oh.
What the f***? How good would that be? How good would that be? That would be one of the... the great things of all time. All right, you get the idea. 133353. Let's get onto it. There's big prizes to be won. Tash, you've got one. We need to unpack. What is it?
Shoppers have been shocked by an alleged X-rated range being sold at Kmart Australia.
What the f***?
Okay, so this is unbelievable. So a Queensland woman was strolling through the makeup and skin care section in Kmart when she spotted a pore cleanser and vibrating facial cleanser device that looked exactly like X-rated toys.
What are they?
They're cleansing products, but they look super sus. They look like special love toys.
They do.
Wow. That'll get your attention as you're strolling down the aisle at Kmart, who I believe are running with this whole sexy theme.
Kmart will have you screaming.
Yes! Yes! Oh, God!
With these hot bargains this week, spice things up with this three-tier spice rack, just $7.69. Get a good spanking from the wooden spoon four-pack, $3.69. Get your table laid with this 82-piece cutlery and floral pattern dinner set, just $69. Feel the vibrations from the home foot spa and massage. $29.69. And with every Who's Your Daddy Old Spice and Why Front on these combo packs sold, get a complimentary copy of the Kmart Sutra. You've never had a big O like one from the big Kmart.
Wow.
Whoa. What is going on? Smokes. Oh, boy, open a window here in the studio. The steam is rising. Hey, you get the idea. Time to go to the callers. Brett's on the line. Brett, blow my mind. What do you got?
Hey, Mick. Hey, MG. Morning, girls. So, look, when astronauts go into space, they actually grow 3% taller.
What the f***?
What?
3%?
Yeah, so because gravity is not pulling their spines back towards Earth, their vertebrae expand.
They're 3 centimetres taller.
3% taller.
Oh, 3%.
3% taller astronauts when they go into space. How do you? So what you do? What you'd be bursting out of your spacesuit, wouldn't you? You'd split your derbs.
You would.
Because you'd be.
You'd get a big wedgie. You would.
When do you use them? Well, the girls would have a bit of camel toe. in their space suit, you're going, oh, guys, go. Oh. Yeah, and you have to do a couple of undo a couple of buttons around the. Down the. Okay. Sorry, it's just the whole
Kmart.
Kmart thing's got me.
It's got me late night shopping tomorrow night too.
Andrew's on the line. Andrew, what have you got for me?
Yeah, there's a brewery in Austria where you can actually swim in a pool of beer. It's therapeutic.
What the f***?
Athletic.
Wow.
$400 for you, Andrew. That is the greatest story I've ever heard. And is it shaped like a giant schooner? You know how musicians have a guitar-shaped pool? Surely the brewery's got like a schooner-shaped pool of beer. Oh, my God, does it have a deep end? Does it have a diving board? Does it have... Oh, my God, I'm overexcited. Does it have like a 20-metre diving board? Does it have a head on it? Yes. Is the top foot a head? Oh, my God. And the girls, if the girls don't have a swim, there's a giant shandy pool. It's half lemonade, half beer just down the road. Oh, I need it. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. Someone, can we do an OB?
Yes.
We're going to take a listener party. We're going to take a group of Triple M listeners to the brewery pool in Austria. That's going to be, we're going to do a show from there. Done.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case to loving you.
This has got it all.
Doctor, as we welcome you to this Wednesday morning, a major story has broken this morning in regards to Bronco star Reece Walsh. What can you tell us, my friend?
Yeah, good morning, MG. Yeah, it's a significant story, no doubt. It's great news for Broncos fans because the superstar, the 21-year-old Reece Walsh, has re-signed with the football club on a five-year, $5.5 million deal. At the age of 21, MG, 5 years, $5.5 million. He will become the highest-paid Bronco in their 36-year history. It's an extraordinary deal. And you know what? I've got to say, if anyone deserves it, it's the electrifying Reece Walsh. He's a player that is unlike few others in the game. Now, interestingly, MG, this was always going to be a juggling act for the Broncos because of really a star-studded lineup. Walsh is also managed by the same agency as teammate Ezra Mam. Now, Ezra Mam also re-signed through until 2029 last year. So that locks these two whiz kids up through until 2029, really embedding that Broncos future with high hopes. It's a major deal, as I said. Reece Walsh, new five-year deal worth $5.5 million.
What do we make of the fact that a few hours later he took to Instagram and said, "Don't believe everything you read. No deal has been signed. I'm doing me. I'll let you know when something happens. Someone give Kevin my number. I think he's lost it."
Yeah, look, this is merely just a process. We've seen this before, MG. I'll say that. The deal itself has been ratified by the Broncos board. I expect a formal announcement in the next few days.
Okay, let's get on to the Dragons. Uncertainty over Zach Lomax's future continues to bubble away. Is it about to flare up again, Doctor?
Well, MG, I think it is. I really do. The Dragons made a point of just putting all the headlines to bed a couple of weeks ago, saying that, look, let's just leave it, kick it down the road until about round four. The mail is that Lomax's management will pick up the phone to the Dragons next week to start those discussions again about potentially Zach Lomax requesting a release. And it's the Parramatta Reels that are hungry for his signature. Wow. Now, what's interesting, MG, is that Blaise Talangi, a very young talent, he's been moved into the halves this week to cover Mitchell Moses. He's also off contract. So, but we also know Blaise can play on the outside back. Do the Eels really push after Zach Lomax, or do they potentially try and lock down the kid? And therefore, if they do get Lomax, do the Dragons then say, hang on a sec, we'll go on a bit of a revenge mission and try and get Blaise Talangi out of Parramatta? It's going to be really interesting. I expect this to heat up over the next week.
Good on you, Doctor. And as we bid farewell, mate, fantastic read through the week on Alex McKinnon on the 10 years since his tragic accident, mate. Well done, and have a fantastic weekend, my man.
He's a champion like yourself, MG. Thank you, mate. Go well.
Mick and MG in the morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.